When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In Wisconsin, a man is convicted of the murder of two after finding the victims in a compromising position. In Louisiana, the New Orleans Police Department pleads with the city council for more funding due to deplorable conditions inside the department itself. And 50 Cent accuses a liquor brand of embezzlement. These stories and more coming at you today, Monday, March 18th, on Real Life, Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Mike Agavino. We're getting Woody back next show, I think. Yes, we're getting Woody back next show. That's a promise. We're getting Woody back next show. Actually, we're going to have a fun time this week. We're going up to lovely Broussard, where the giant American flag is, and going to go see our friends, Roy, Kristen, and Kristen, and see if Jim or I pass out or
Jim is going to stay in the lobby
first. Well, that's
Jim is going to let you go in. Jim is not going to go look at it.
Jim is forfeiting the match.
Jim is
very
forfeiting.
Unlike Jim to forfeit the match.
I don't want to see things I can't unsee. Let's put it that way.
I've got several contraptions that I'm going to work. I've got the Vic stuff for under my nose. Mm. I've got a clothespin to shut the nose completely because Woody says I have to breathe out of my mouth. So I'm prepared.
We'll go into it. A Green Bay, Wisconsin story, and a jury has found a man guilty this week of murder and several other charges for killing his girlfriend and her friend after he found them in the midst of a sexual act. Brown County court records show that Richard Sotka was convicted of two counts of first-degree intentional homicide with the use of a dangerous weapon, criminal damage to property, and multiple counts of bail jumping for the deaths of Rhonda Sigalski and Paula O'Connor. One of the homicide charges also had a domestic abuse modifier to it. Deputies responded to a duplex and they found the two women deceased. Police identified Sotka as the suspect and learned he might be traveling through Arkansas. Law enforcement officials in Arkansas then conducted a traffic stop and arrested Sotka the same day.
Wow.
He wasn't a very good escapee. I mean, usually you get away for longer than that, but thankfully he did not. Sigalski's daughter and her friend called police after finding them stabbed to death. O'Connor reportedly still had the knife in her neck.
Oof.
Sigalski and O'Connor both sustained stab wounds to the face and the neck. Sotka got out of the shower and he walked in on the two women in a compromising position. The Green Bay Press reported that Sotka admitted he snapped and told police, "I'm guilty of killing these girls, but I'm not guilty of what they said I did." He was out on bond for stalking and other charges when the killings occurred and was required to wear an ankle monitor, which he cut off after fleeing the scene. About 20 years ago, Sotka snapped in a similar way in an incident with his then-girlfriend. He reportedly broke her leg, fractured her skull, and hit out some of her teeth. Sotka will remain in custody without bond until his sentence hearing in May. So this guy went absolutely berserko on these two women.
Sure did. Green Bay, I mean, that's, you know, the home of shabusiness.
Yeah, and we just covered another story from Green Bay, from a at least a Wisconsin individual that was pretty. I don't know what's going on in the cheese. Yeah,
well,
if the
team's not winning, then the natives get restless up there, and bad stuff starts happening. I wonder how they're going to feel about Aaron Rodgers being RFK Jr.'s vice presidential nominee. If that happens,
that ain't going to happen.
If that happens,
you believe anything? Would you?
Well, he said it. I mean, it's not a rumor. It's not a rumor. It's something that he said along with Jesse Ventura. So, you know,
it really doesn't matter because neither one of them will win.
If you got to pick a running mate, I mean, you taking Jesse, who's got to be, I think he's got to be 70 at least these days, right?
Yeah, he's a big conspiracy theorist, Jesse Ventura.
You taking Jesse or you taking
Tonka incident, the Gulf of Tonka.
Aaron needs to play more than four plays this year. He probably doesn't need to be running for vice president. I don't know.
But I will say that Brett Favre is my favorite player of all time.
You have said that before, yeah.
And he was a Green Bay god for a long time.
He was. And now they got themselves their third great quarterback with Jordan Love. So they know how to get quarterbacks up there.
Bart Starr.
They also know how to commit gruesome crimes for seemingly stupid reasons, but
yeah,
let's go to Hawaii, where no bad stuff ever happens, right? I mean, you know, everybody walks around with those Hawaiian print shirts, go to the beach, a little surfing, a mahi-mahi sandwich at lunch, a little late hula, some pineapple, a couple macadamias, and you're good, right?
Mecca Kalikimaka.
Well, some bad shit happened here. So police are investigating the death of five people in Honolulu, including three children, 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 17-year-old, all as part of an apparent murder-suicide. The incident occurred on Sunday morning, local time in Hawaii. Police discovered the bodies of the three unidentified children, a wife and a husband, inside the home just after 9 a.m. All five family members were pronounced dead at the scene. Honolulu PD said that the office received an anonymous call around 8:30 a.m. and an officer responded to the scene. Honolulu Police Department Lieutenant Dina Tome said, based upon the evidence found at the scene and the investigation thus far, it appears that the adult male killed the female and the juveniles with a knife that was recovered from the scene. The motive is still under investigation. These don't appear to be random acts. Well, sure doesn't sound like it. The police are conducting interviews and reviewing security camera footage as the investigation continues. Like I said, they do not have a clear motive. Honolulu Mayor Rick Blangiardi also issued a statement about the case saying that he was heartbroken by the tragic incident that occurred early this morning in the peaceful Manoa neighborhood, claiming the lives of an entire family, including three precious children. According to police, this is the deadliest mass murder in Honolulu since seven people were shot dead in the Xerox murders of November 2nd, 1999. So 25 years since they've had this bad of a murder, this bad of mass shooting. Although police have yet to name the victims or the husband, some neighbors have spoken out saying that they believe one of the children attended the nearby elementary school and that the father was a local chiropractor. Police now say they are waiting for the report from the medical examiner's office before releasing all the family names. So this guy just wakes up on Sunday morning and decides to take his entire family out with a knife.
And then kills himself.
Sitting there in beautiful Honolulu. And then, yes, he...
His
goodbyes to the world as well.
I'll never understand why these people look, if you're going to kill yourself. Don't take all these people out with you. You know, horrible, awful situation.
Especially,
whole family ruined.
The kids. I mean, I don't know.
What did they do? Yeah.
Whatever.
Horrible. We'll move on closer to home here, and that is New Orleans. And police in New Orleans are dealing with what they call deplorable conditions inside the department building, including a rat infestation. New Orleans PD Superintendent Anna Kirkpatrick describes the conditions inside the department's current headquarters building and evidence room. And here is what that sounded like during a New Orleans City Council meeting.
In the evidence property room that you took a tour of, you know, I stopped you and I said, council member, come back. I want you to see the tray of all of the
roaches.
Major rodents on the floor, the cockroaches, the rats eating our marijuana. They're all high.
That's right. The rats are eating the marijuana and they are all high.
It would be pretty cool to get high with rats, though, don't you think?
But you got a major problem when you got high rats eating all your evidence. I mean, they don't stop at just the marijuana. So she said all of that during the council meeting, and that also the NOPD is grappling with the decrepit facilities across the board. No air conditioning, broken elevators, and filthy conditions in addition to the evidence rooms.
Wait, broken air conditioners or no air conditioners?
No air conditioning.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm sure she meant broken. I'm sure they had it at some point. But her quote was no air conditioning. Broke elevators and filthy conditions, in addition to the evidence rooms being infested with rodents. Kirkpatrick elaborated on a $7.6 million plan to lease two floors of the DXC building on Poydras Street, which would house dozens of police administrators who are dealing with substandard facilities at the NOPD's current headquarters. The council will consider allocating new money to relocate a portion of NOPD headquarters, but the chief says much more is needed. Despite these problems, Kirkpatrick said the city's murder rate has dropped 38%, and the city is also seeing large drops in rape, armed robbery, and carjackings. But the rodents are high and numerous in the facility.
Maybe the rats are scaring away the bad guys.
But this is actually in the facility, in the headquarters.
No, I understand, but you know, maybe they're just breeding lots of high rats and
marijuana
rats are affecting crime in the area.
I don't know. You know, all joking aside, you need to address this.
Yeah, that's
if you've got a rodent infestation in your department headquarters, you need to address that. City Council needs to put some money. They make plenty of money in New Orleans with their tourism. They need to take some of that and allocate, at least have a decent facility for these people to work in. Well, Jesus.
They don't make plenty. I mean, they've got fiscal problems, but
I
don't know if they're going to find $7.6 million, but they've got to find some serious money. You can't do that. I mean, you can't work in those conditions. You know, at some point, someone's going to get
They definitely make more money off tourism than any other city in the state. And Denham Springs Police Department ain't got a rodent problem. I mean, you're telling me NOPD's got to have one?
The city as a whole.
I feel bad for these cops.
Is a breeding ground for rodents.
Sure. It's under sea level.
I had one of those Nutria things.
Nutria rat.
Yeah, the size of a freaking dog. You can eat the fucking thing. I'd eat your whooping crane before I'd eat that freaking thing. Because all of these houses are lifted and they've all got crawl spaces. And, you know, over time, if you're not paying really close attention, you get a little crack somewhere where a rodent can get in there. And
you had a nature?
Yeah. And the freaking thing was not the slightest bit scared of me or anybody else. The first day I noticed it, I was on the sidewalk out front. I later discovered where it lived, which was in the back of the house. It walked right by me and went and went to this tree. And I'm like, what the heck? And I'd never heard of one of a nutria before that moment. And I thought, that's the biggest rat I've ever seen. And he went right by this big tree. And I don't know if he went to the bathroom or what he did. He's by the tree for a minute, and I just stood there looking at him, and then he just crossed right by me again on the sidewalk and walked right back through the yard.
Well, here's a point of fact. You know, the Nutri-Rat problem used to be so bad in that area, and really a lot of areas across the state, that they would pay you $25 for each one you would kill. The state of Louisiana, you could bring them in a bag. I've got seven Nutri-Rats, and you would make – you know, $150 it's bucks.
It's like the tail, right? You just have to bring the tail, and they pay you for the tail or something. Somebody was telling me that.
May have been just the tail. But, yeah, they would pay you for it. They've since stopped that. Maybe they need to start it back up.
Shout out to Astepro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year though, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried Astepro? It's faster, bro. Oh. All right. Astepro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this. And you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use Astepro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, planting my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. AsteproAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Astepro and go.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different. And in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple. And in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Yeah, maybe. And that may be, those rats might be those nutria rats down there. I mean.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely nasty looking creatures. They're like the size of, for those that don't know what we're talking about, they're like the size of big cats.
Yeah, look it up. Or these bigger. Things are not attractive.
Yeah, they're like gigantic rats. I mean, that's what they look like.
Not attractive creatures.
Nah, nothing cute about them. They're not like your pet.
Rats are really smart. You know? I mean, they're
smart. That's why they do the. You notice they all the tests that they give humans, they give rats first.
Do they have Doritos in that room as well? Do the rats
I'm sure they bring in
some Doritos? And
okay. Doritos.
The first thing a good rat reaches for after they get high.
Maybe we'll post a picture of a nature rat on Facebook.
Let's do that. Let's talk about 50 Cent. You know that he was shot nine times once?
Yep, he talks about it in several of his songs. So, Tupac was shot five.
I know. But, you know, a guy that gets shot nine times and lives through is probably not a guy you want to F with.
No, he's from Jamaica, 50 Cent.
Yeah. Well, he sent a warning to the parent company of his liquor brand. This is a crazy story. He's alleging that Beam Suntory, BEAMSUNTORY, which is the distribution company that he used to distribute his brand, which is called Sire Spirits. He's saying that Sire, so that's his brand, was involved in an embezzlement scheme that cost him millions of dollars. He went on to Instagram on Monday and posted that the company would have to pay for what they did. He wrote in the Instagram message, Beam Suntory is going to pay for what they did. Trust me. These big companies think they can get away with anything. It has cost me millions in legal fees. They're going to find out that I'm not the one you want to play with. I'm not the guy you want to get started in the nicest way possible. I'm going to need my money by Monday. See, that's a threat. That's a serious threat there from the big guy. So 50 also shared a letter on Instagram that Beam Suntory sent their alleged co-conspirators. So this is Beam sending a letter back to Sire Spirits. This is the letter Beam Suntory sent without my knowledge to the people involved in the scheme that cost me millions. Do I really need to hold a press conference to walk everyone through exactly what happened? This will make a great unscripted project. 50 initially filed a complaint back in February of 23 with the New York State Supreme Court, where he alleged that Beam Suntory was complicit in an embezzlement scheme. He alleges that Sire Spirits, that's his brand, overpaid for the liquor that was supplied to them and took kickbacks of about $6 million. So this is a co-conspiracy between, with the accusation, between some people who actually worked at his brand, Sire Spirits, and people who worked at the distributor, this Beam Suntory. Because these illicit commissions were baked into the price of the product, Sire Spirits then overpaid on taxes, overpaid on customs and duties, overpaid for our insurance, which marked towards the value of the product. Sire Spirits' attorney, Craig Weiner, said all that in a statement. He added that Beam Suntory's role here is extraordinarily troubling. Beam Suntory's chief commercial officer, a gentleman by the name of Julius Grant, acting as an employee, as an officer of the company, acting under the actual and parent authority of Beam Suntory, facilitated the entire fraud as we pleaded in our complaint. Beam Suntory vehemently denied all allegations of wrongdoing on Tuesday in an email response. Beam Suntory vehemently denies all allegations of wrongdoing. It had no involvement in or knowledge of fraudulent activity alleged in the complaint, and any allegation to the contrary has no basis in fact. It is undisputed that we honored our prior obligations to Mr. Jackson, that's 50 Cent, and Sire Spirits. It is very unfortunate that the parties involved continue to misrepresent the facts and misdirect blame in an attempt to recover fees and damages. Sire Spirits' attorney, the Weiner guy, responded saying, Sire Spirits alleges and expects to prove at trial that the affirmative acts undertaken by multiple Beam Suntory executives, including but not limited to its former chief commercial officer, its chief strategy officer, and others working in concert with them, cost Sire millions of dollars and did irreparable harm to Mr. Jackson's business. Mitchell Green, a former employee at Sire Spirits, previously pleaded guilty to wire fraud for his role in the alleged kickback scheme. He stole $2 million from the liquor brand. So for the folks at Beam Suntory to deny any of this is kind of difficult to see when they've already got somebody from the other side who's pleaded guilty and admitted to stealing $2 million in this thing. So this is actually going to the New York Supreme Court. The case is set to go to jury in early 2025. Don't mess around with 50 Cent.
Nah, man. 50. Look, let me tell you something. One of the only people I've ever heard of to stand up to Suge Knight was 50 Cent. And Suge Knight went to intimidate him in his in a bar in New York City. And 50 just looked at him. He didn't run. He didn't do anything. He's not easy to intimidate. And look, they got a lot.
Remind me to tell you the story of my man Bone Sloan. And
you told me about that.
How he stood up to Suge.
Suge's in jail now because of Bones and another gentleman that was
Bone,
killed.
Bone refused to testify, though. He did not testify at Suge's trial.
No, but the video pretty much was enough. They didn't need it. But I'll tell you, a lot going on in that world right now. And look, people, just this wasn't on our schedule, I guess, to talk about today, but just a quick mention. If all of you out there need to pay a whole lot of attention right now to what is going on with Sean Diddy Combs, who is the founder of Bad Boy Records. It may shock you, the stuff that's going down. There was more stuff released just a couple of days ago. I'm doing a series. It's Exposed, Scandalous Files of the Elite, and I'm covering P. Diddy right now. And every time I got to do another episode, something else comes out. That's how crazy this is right now. As a matter of fact, Candace Owens was reporting on it and actually said yesterday it will be her last episode because she's actually fearful of reporting any more information about.
Wow, she said that, huh?
Yeah, on her show, which is surprising because Candace is tough. And she said, you know, I don't feel safe even reporting on any of this anymore. It is getting up there with Jeffrey Epstein stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of it is kid involved. So anyway, we'll get off that subject.
Almost at the level of the Kate Middleton stuff.
Kate Middleton.
Almost.
What Kate Middleton?
Princess Kate.
I don't know anything about it.
Where is Princess Kate?
I don't know anything about that.
This is the biggest scandal in the globe right now.
Oh.
Jim.
I don't follow.
Get wired in.
I don't follow the rules.
Well, and I'm, of course, unable to do a stuff I'm not allowed to report. That's right. Report, so
especially without Woody here.
The audience is going to have to keep wondering.
So we'll move on.
What's
and we're
really
gonna,
up with Kate?
We're going to talk about Peeper in North Carolina. And a North Carolina man is facing felony charges for filming boys in a hockey arena bathroom after one victim's father spotted his camera under a stall. Charlotte police arrested John Cutter, who is 61, on March 8th after carrying out a search warrant on his home. There they found 7 videos taken in several restrooms at Bojangles Coliseum featuring children using urinals. Police launched this investigation after a father contacted them on February 24th, saying that he observed a hand in a recording device similar to a GoPro going underneath the stall while he and his 11-year-old son waited for the boy's 12-year-old friend to finish using the bathroom. The father told police that he confronted the man, who then walked away. I can't believe, you know, I'd have beat the shit out of that guy, but whatever. At that point, the father contacted security and police. The father confronted Cutter around 4:35 p.m., about 15 minutes after he and his children arrived at the venue. Security footage showed Cutter leaving the building at 4:47, so he knew, I just got caught doing this, and he left. Although they could not find the man in the arena, security footage allowed security staff to identify his car. Charlotte police ran the license plate and identified Cutter as that suspect. Cutter was previously charged with indecent liberties with a minor in 1999. The department wrote that in their affidavit. And in 2008, 2 police reports against Cutter involving children were filed. Why is this guy still running free is beyond me. In one instance, a woman reported Cutter after he asked to photograph her son in a public park, just randomly. Cutter was removed from the sex offender registry in 2011. Don't ask me why. The 61-year-old was charged with peeping while using a photographic image device, peeping while possessing a device capable of creating a photographic image, and some other charges. He posted a $17,000 bail after spending approximately 10 hours in jail. And the first thing I have to say about this whole story is this guy will never stop. He has had a history his entire life of doing perverted, sick, voyeuristic shit with children. And no matter what his sentence is, Mike, he will get out and continue to do it.
You said that was North Carolina?
This guy is sick.
It's North Carolina, right, Charlotte?
Yes.
I would have thought the state of North Carolina would have had stricter laws and would have put them at, and then they removed.
Yeah, I have no, I didn't think you could get removed from arrest, but maybe after so long in some states you can. But
do we
that
know
in
much?
And of itself doesn't matter because people aren't walking around with registries on their phone where, you know, and it, this guy being in a bathroom videoing somebody, whether he's on the registry or not, he's going to be able to do that.
True.
I don't know what the solution is here, but the fact that he has had so many prior charges related to kids and he's still roaming free and still continuing to do it over and over again, I don't think he'll ever stop.
No, he won't unless he's
61.
Put away for a very long time, which it sounds like it's probably not going to be the case. I don't know if they say how long.
I mean, his bond was only, or yeah, his was bail 17, was 17 grand, which you pay, what, 20% of that. So he had to come up with, you know, less than $2,000 to get out of jail. Just the charges probably should.
And you see, the crime doesn't fit the charges. You see this over and over again. And it seems to me it's the crime where the punishment across just how many of these stories have we done, the punishment seems so misaligned with the crime because it's a sickness. They're going to repeat, as you said. Who knows how many kids' lives this guy's already impacted. And let's face it, that impact is forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they live with that the rest of their lives, and many of them don't live well with it the rest of their lives. And but yet they don't. But shit, California's so crazy on some of this stuff. They advance the minor attracted persons description. Are you kidding me? And I mean, they're almost trying to decriminalize these man child relationships. It just. I don't know, scenario like that. If, and I guess it was somebody else's kid, but if you were that dad in that bathroom while that was happening,
oh, man,
I don't know how that guy got back to the parking lot to his car.
He apparently ran into someone with a lot better Zen attitude than I have.
Well, let's go see another sicko. And this sicko's in Florida. Authorities in Florida arrested a suspect who allegedly attacked another man with a machete amid a dispute about looking through text messages.
Mm.
He apparently just did not want the other guy looking at his texts. The Hernando County Sheriff's Office said Douglas Albert Fullerton, 24 years old, was caught going through his roommate's phone last Monday night at their home in Brooksville, Florida. When the victim found him and confronted him about it, Fullerton went and grabbed a machete before he returned and hit the victim in the face, police said. They said the victim claimed that he grabbed the blade to prevent Fullerton from striking him again and that Fullerton then dropped the machete. He retrieved a silver knife from the kitchen and returned to continue stabbing the victim. When the victim turned and attempted to run away, he felt the knife hit his back. The sheriff's office said the victim was able to escape to a bathroom and called 911. The 911 dispatcher could hear Fullerton clearly yelling from outside that bathroom door. Quote, "Tell them you got into an accident. I don't want to go back to jail." The victim eventually attempted to flee the residence, but Fullerton was nearby and began chasing him. So now he's chasing him through his neighborhood. The victim was able to get to a neighbor's house and get that neighbor to let him inside. Once he was in the neighbor's home, he lost sight of Fullerton. So there were some anxious minutes as the guy with the knife is patrolling the neighborhood looking for you, and he sees you get into a neighbor's house. The victim remained at the neighbor's until deputies arrived. After being transported to a local hospital, he received medical attention for a deep laceration to his face, fractures to several facial bones, and cuts to his hands and his back. Deputies remained at the scene and searched for Fullerton with the help of both drone units and canine, but were initially unsuccessful. An arrest warrant was subsequently issued for Fullerton for aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. He also had an active warrant for violation of probation on a possession of controlled substance charge. Police said Fullerton and the victim were in a romantic relationship. According to Hernando County detention records, Fullerton has had prior arrests that included drug possession, resisting arrest, and probation violation. On Tuesday, deputies received a tip about Fullerton's whereabouts, and they were able to take him into custody without incident.
Good. So
he did not have his machete when the officers got to him.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned something in that story about them using drones in an effort to capture this guy, and that is becoming a lot more common. Even here in the state of Louisiana, in the smaller departments, they are training officers to use drones, and it doesn't replace the helicopter, obviously, but very efficient and a lot cheaper than flying a helicopter. You will have situations where you need that, such as car chases.
Sure.
A drone ain't going to keep up with that, but for these type of crimes. In this situation, that was a big advantage, you know, using those drones.
And but having, yeah, and all over a text message. Wow. Available as well. So
yep, absolutely. Canines will be around forever.
And this guy looks like a complete whack job.
Yeah, he looks like, I mean, some people just fit the crime. He definitely fits it.
He'd be fitting that crime.
But man, people, how many stories have we reported lately where it's just things that you should just let go? And like going through someone's text messages. I mean, this guy now has ruined his life over. Why didn't you just take the phone back and it be over with? But, you know, sad, really.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Well, we're gonna bring you to Sugarloaf, California. You familiar with Sugarloaf?
Sugarloaf, California.
Sugarloaf, California sounds like a nice place anyway, but it's over by Big Bear. You know where Big Bear is?
We have been to Big Bear a number of times, so Sugarloaf must be – oh, it must be – one of the other resorts. There's a couple of ski resorts there that are, they're smaller resorts like Big Bear.
Well, we're going to tell you about just a horrible situation from there. And deputies have arrested a 26-year-old man after he abducted a teen, held the juvenile hostage for days, and forced her to have sex with him. Deputies from the Big Bear Lake Sheriff Station responded to a call on March 7th after a 17-year-old female had escaped Zachary DeRusso's locked car while the man was at work. On March 1st, around 8 p.m., DeRusso picked up the juvenile and drove her to his home. He reportedly requested sex from her, but she refused. DeRusso held the teen hostage in his home for almost a week. DeRusso failed to provide the victim with adequate food and water. He would not allow the victim to leave and forced her to consume large amounts of alcohol. DeRusso forced the victim to have sex with him in exchange for her freedom. DeRusso brought the girl with him while driving to work and held her inside his locked vehicle during the day. The victim escaped and went to a local business seeking help. That prompted employees to call the sheriff's office. Deputies located DeRusso at his home and took him into custody. He was booked into the Big Bear jail and charged with kidnapping, false imprisonment, and statutory rape.
My God. Where the hell did the guy work?
That's a great question.
You're in a car and lock her up while you're at work. I mean, it's Big Bear and it's still technically winter.
And that's kind of a mountainous region. Yeah,
it's when you, it's out toward, what do you call it? Oh my God, Mike, how many years are you out of fucking California? It's out in the, near the desert, near Palm Springs. You actually look out at from Palm Springs and you see the mountain that Big Bear sits at the top of. So it's like an hour and a half outside of LA. But it's a really, it's not the, the big West, coast kind of, you know, Rocky Mountain kind of skiing. California's got some great mountains, like Mammoth, or up Lake Tahoe, but this is a smaller one. It's a day trip kind of place and there aren't that many. There's locals and then people that rent cabins there and rent places. So it's pretty remote.
Yeah. And
like you know, one windy road, they catch you up there.
Former UFC fighter named Tito Ortiz. Yeah. He used to train in Big Bear. That's where his training camps would be.
I think Tyson, Tyson did at one point too. And okay. Tyson did for a period of time, but, locking her in your inner car, in your car.
Just
holding her for a week.
Another horrible story. So, we'll move on. And is it dumb criminal time?
It's always dumb criminal time.
We've talked about a lot of dumb ones today.
Yeah, these guys are sort of a cross between dumb and hysterically funny criminals. So I'm going to post this video. I came across this story while I was scrolling through TikTok, and it's got tons of views, justifiably so. And so the story comes from parts unknown because there's no consensus in the original post or anywhere about where the officers are from or where these guys are, and you can't get a good look at a license plate in order to see. People are actually voting online and declaring West Virginia the victor, but I'm not so sure this happened in West Virginia, but or that that's very fair to West Virginians. But anyway, so parts unknown. It was all revealed in the release, which is a release of an officer's body cam footage on TikTok, as I said, although they don't tell us the officer's name nor where they are. In the video, the cop pulls up on a rural highway, and across on the side of the road, he sees a couple of large, and I mean really, really large men. I'd say one that weighed at least 400 pounds and another that weighed over 500 pounds. And they are... And these two guys are in the bed of a pickup truck drinking. So you see them in the bed of the pickup truck, and they're sitting and they're chugging beers. And so there's another guy that you can't really see who's in the front driver's seat of that pickup. So the cop gets on the radio and says, quote, let's pop over to these guys and see what's going on, because there's another cruiser pulling up behind him. So the cop pulls up and tells the two large men in the truck bed to tell the driver to, quote, hang out real quick, because it appears like he's getting ready to drive off. A moment later, the driver hits the gas, and the dirt is, it's a dirt road, and so it's really soft dirt. So all of this dirt goes flying up into the air. The tires are spinning like crazy, and so you got dust and dirt and spinning tires, and the 400-pound guy goes flying off the back of the truck. But somehow, as he goes flying off the back of the truck, he lands upright. He lands on his feet. It's like when you watch it on the video, it's like, how the hell did that guy land on his feet? But he lands on his feet. The really big one, the really big guy, falls flat inside the bed of the truck. So he just falls down flat. The truck pulls across the road, and you see the really large guy sprawled out with the lower part of his legs dangling outside the rear of the truck. The cop sees this and says, okay. Then he sees the smaller fat guy come running back after the truck, chasing it down the dirt road. To this, the cop says again, casually, okay. The second cruiser pulls up as all of this is happening and radios to the first cop, quote, I don't even want to ask what that was. The first cop then pursues in his cruiser down the dirt road behind the pickup. And as he does, he replies into his radio, quote, this is some hillbilly shit. At this point, both of the large men are in the bed of the pickup, and as the chase ensues down the dirt road, the smaller of the two guys begins to throw beer cans at the cruiser. Hmm. 1, 2, 3, 10, 20. Beer cans are just bouncing off of the cruiser. He's just tossing beer can after beer can at the cop. Over the radio, you hear, quote, are they throwing those cans at you? The first cop responds, that's again the second cruiser asking the question. He says, yeah, they're chucking cans, but the fat boy in the back is hilarious. He's trying to hold on for dear life. And you can see that the guy's getting bucked around like crazy. The second cop laments says, oh God, I'm missing this whole show. The video ends a few seconds later. So, and I can't find any more information on this story anywhere, and I'm not the only one frustrated, as tons of people have offered commentary on TikTok. One guy lists all the crimes he witnessed from this thing. We got fleeing and evading. We got littering. We got obstruction of governmental procedures. We've got likely possible DUI for the driver. We've got public endangerment. We've got reckless driving. Another said, quote, just some good old boys, never meaning no harm. Another guy added to the crimes list, we got public drunkenness, we got open containers, and since they are hillbillies, most likely armed while intoxicated, while in public and in a vehicle. Someone else said, wonder how many pairs of cuffs it took to get fatty, that's some real hog tying. Another guy summed it all up better than I can, some really freaky looking fat guys drinking beer, the police come, fat guys take off in their pickup truck, a chase ensues, beer cans are thrown, ha ha ha. It's Deliverance meets Smokey the Bandit. I might have to add some banjo music to this. That's the actual quote of the guy on TikTok. That's not me. I might have to add some banjo music. So, Jim, add some banjo. We'll post the video, guys. It's you have to see it.
There you go. Dumb criminals throwing beer cans. Not a good idea. Throw beer cans at the cops ever. All right, we got a mile high crime for Monday. And look, I didn't even realize this was a scam going on at airports, but apparently there's a lot of fake Uber and Lyft drivers, and they have busted a ton of them at the Miami International Airport soliciting rides. The Miami-Dade County Commissioner recently amended their ordinance to make the penalty stiffer for those caught soliciting rides and claiming they are Uber or Lyft drivers. They actually had an undercover sting operation, and before the sun came up on Saturday, this past Saturday, they had four vehicles already that were claiming to be Lyft and Uber drivers that were not. It was a joint operation between Miami-Dade Passenger Transportation Regulatory Division and the Miami-Dade Police Department. They come here in the morning, they come in the afternoon, and they come at night, police said. When asked if the illegal drivers know they shouldn't be doing that, police replied, of course. You can see it in their faces when we ask them if they're legit drivers. One driver who had already been busted once was issued a trespass warning in order not to return unless he was traveling, was caught a second time. And the second time he was caught, they actually took him to jail. These people, we don't know their background. We don't know if they're felons. We don't know if they have a driver's license. We don't even know if they have insurance on the vehicle, police said. And now they're coming to Miami International Airport to solicit and pick up people outside the platform. We don't want our residents and tourists to be harmed by people who we don't even know who they are. And I get that. The driver of a blue Hyundai Elantra had a fake Uber and Lyft sign on their windshield when they were caught. They buy it online, police said, to get the attention of the consumer and make it more official. If you get in the car with one of these drivers, the ride is not tracked as it would be if you're using an app. Getting busted will be extremely costly to those illegal drivers, however. Each of these drivers will be getting two citations, two civil violations of up to $1,010 each, plus their vehicles are impounded. Since January of 2023, police have actually done 28 of these undercover operations in the Miami-Dade airport. And get this, a total of 102 vehicles have been impounded. So over 100 vehicles, y'all, and it's only March. In order to do this legally, drivers must have a county license, pass a vehicle inspection, undergo training, pass a background check, and provide proof of insurance. So you don't have to necessarily drive for Uber or Lyft, but you have, if you are not driving for Uber or Lyft, you have these regulations you have to follow via Miami's laws. And some of these people are just like pulling up and saying, hey, you need a ride, and this is how much I'm going to charge you. And what blows my mind is I've traveled before, and I've used Lyft and Uber during my travels. And, you know, one of the best things is the convenience of prepaying, right? So if you're not a legit driver, I guess these people are jumping in like it's a taxi. You know
what they're doing. So this is an age old problem in New York City. For years, there were what were known as gypsy cabs. Mm-hmm. And so these are cabs that were not part of the Taxi and Limousine Commission, which is the body that oversaw the all the taxis in New York. But if you flew into Kennedy or LaGuardia and you needed to get a cab into the city, sometimes there'd be a cab line of 100 people waiting for taxis, and they're not being any taxis to pick up anybody. So you could have an hour wait to get a taxi, and so you'd have these guys walking through the baggage claim area, need a ride, going to Manhattan, need a ride. And look, I mean, I did it a number of times. I mean, if you're not don't have an hour to sit there and wait online for a cab, you cut a deal with a guy and you hope that
he's not a serial killer.
You hope that you get where you have to get. So this seems like just the next incarnation of that, you know, trying to work around the rules of Lyft and Uber, and also work around the restrictions. Probably, I mean, good chance that that you got a lot of illegals doing that. I don't know if it's costly to get the whatever you have to get from Miami to be licensed to do it. It may be expensive to do that, and people avoiding it that way. But it's always safe because people generally don't order the Uber until they at least see the baggage carousel start to spin or something, because they don't want the Uber to come before they actually have their bags.
Yeah.
And so it's working the baggage claim area discreetly that you end up being able to pick up a fare. And so I'm sure that's what they're doing. I'm surprised they're cracking down that hard on it, because
right. And some of those people, you know, when you drive for Uber or Lyft, you have they take a percentage, obviously. They have to make, you know, justify their side of their company. And some of these people may just be trying to avoid the percentage and be, you know, law-abiding citizens otherwise. They just don't want to pay over 30% or whatever it is.
Sure.
But it's not only the convenience factor, it's also the safety factor. And in these, with Uber and Lyft, these people are screened. You have to turn over your driver's license. You have to show proof of insurance, a very important thing, you know? So there's all these things that you can't get outside of that unless you're, you know, Miami apparently offers a way for you to do it through the city, but yeah. I'm sure they charge a fee too. So anyway, yeah,
we still see crime involved with Lyft and Uber.
Oh, sure you do.
I had I don't know if it was Lyft or Uber, but I had a driver in Fort Worth a couple of weeks ago tell me that she was driving a car owned by either Uber or Lyft bought her the car. And I'd never heard of
that before.
So the way the deal works is she's driving under their insurance, not her own.
Yeah.
It's their vehicle that and so all of the financials of that are worked into however her deal works.
Yeah.
With Uber, but she is allowed to use the car for a limited number of personal miles a month. And wow. I mean, it sounded like a heck of a deal. And it was a young single mom who had a nice SUV. And, you know, she had a young son that she had to take to and from school. And so it seemed like, you know, they're really working hard to try and do some things for their employees. I'd never heard of that.
No doubt. Well, there you go. That's your Mile High Crime for today. And that brings us to the end of another monumental episode of Real Life Real Crime Daily.
Technically, that was at ground level, not mile high, but.
Sure it was. Well, we weren't a mile high in the air, but it was an airport crime.
Well, I know. I'm just saying we weren't a mile high in the air.
No.
Technicality.
No, there's kind of slow news in the actual air these past few days in airports.
Well, you know the new is it Tesla that's making it? You know that next year they're releasing the first model line of that flying car.
I did not.
Yeah. You don't want to be one of the early adopters of the flying car. I don't think. First of all,
the Jetsons.
To be an early adopter of the flying car, I think is going to cost something like $2 or $3 million just to get
you'd be the only one
vehicle. And you know, not you don't want, just like you don't want that first model year of the vehicle after it's gone through a major change. So
right.
let them perfect the flying car before we're all doing that.
Well, there you go. You
do want to see one.
You get it all here.
I do want to see one, though. Don't you want to just be driving down the road and have a flying car?
I mean, I'd love to try it out, but, you know, I'm like you. Let it work its kinks out first.
I'd rather have the submarine car first.
Yeah. Well, they already.
I mean, I know they've had those, but those are all like one-off things. There's nobody who's done off an assembly line a amphibious car.
Right.
Those would be really handy around here.
Sure.
I mean.
Yeah.
Forget that bridge. Just go cross the Mississippi in your amphibious vehicle, Jim. I'll talk to Woody. Woody might get one. I could convince him to do it.
Get all the news here, folks, and then some. All right.
Except I can't tell you about Princess Kate, although I know what's going on.
Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
And for Woody Overton, we're Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.